This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, thanks for joining me today on a show that I'm really looking forward to. It's going to be a conversation with Catherine Toon, who is on the GAN Network as well as GAN Plus. Some of you may know her. Some of you may be your first time to hear her, but she and I have had a chance to talk, and I was on her podcast not too long ago, which you can catch on GAN. And I thought that this would be a good person for us to talk a little bit about deconstruction, a little bit about her journey. She's had a book that she's revised and has come back out. It came out fairly recently. We'll talk more about that. Talk a little bit about how she started her ministry and has gotten to the point that she's at today in the grace area. And I think it'll be something we'll do a lot of going forward. This is our first one in this new series. And after she and I got a chance to talk, I wanted you guys to be able to talk with her. So, Catherine, thanks for joining us today.
Wow. It is a privilege. I'm really, really happy to be here. This is wonderful.
Well, let's do this. Let's start with just a little bit about your background and introducing yourself to the folks who are coming in. Some people listen on podcasts, some go to YouTube, others to our website or to GAN. So, for some people, this will be their first time to get to know you. So just tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, thank you. So I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't really start to follow Christ until I was in my 20s. I'd actually had encounters with him, but I didn't have much of a grid. And because there was a lot of dysfunction in our background, as things started to become more and more unhealthy, I kind of turned my back on what I realized was this person that I'd had encounters with. I was just angry at God, and sort of went my own way. And what my own way kind of looked like at that time, I was in the place where I was feeling the need because I hadn't received the affirmation that I need, and there was a lot of dysfunction, that I learned the lie that my worth and value was what I do. And so at an early age, actually age 7, I just decided sort of subconsciously that, well, if my worth and value is what I do, I'm going to pick the hardest thing I can think of, and that is to become a physician. So that's what I did. I made this vow. I walked it out. I did it with all the bells and whistles, Ivy League, all this stuff. And I'd kind of turned my back on God. Now, the interesting thing about God is that it's irrelevant what we do in terms of whether we reject him, approach him, receive. He just stays there. I have a chapter in the book called Annoying Relentless Love. He would not leave and when I was mad. And so he continued to pursue me. So as my life started to unravel more on an emotional plane, professionally, I was doing great. I realized that, wow, I really needed this one person that I, was so angry at and had turned my back on. So kind of gave my life to Christ, as we put it that way, and then started on the journey. And I just thought all those Christian people were strange, but I became one. And so I started to follow him, and I started to dive into scripture and that sort of thing. And that led me in to the streams that I started to connect with, were Assemblies of God and Word of Faith, and sort of cut my teeth on that. And as I started to realize that my professional choice, which was so demanding, did not have life in it because it wasn't what I called to. Now, I love my patients. I love the intellectual challenge, but it wasn't what I was called to. So I really was burnt out. And by that time, I'd gotten married. We were starting a family. And so I just sort of came home to be with my kids, and I started to dive in to all things Christian. It was kind of my own Holy Spirit-led journey. So I was inhaling the Bible. I was inhaling different teachers and preachers, and most of them initially, Assemblies of God, Word of Faith, then it became more charismatic. And so you just sort of started to take on all those things. What I realized is after a while, because I'd encountered God very early on in a very mystical way, the person of Christ basically materialized and sort of was there to comfort me in places of trauma. And the only thing I knew is that he loved me and I loved him. And later on, and this was when I was a little girl, later on, as we were traveling Europe, I would see the crucifixes, right? And I remember I was about probably 5 years old, and I was lying on the hotel bed because I had the crucifixes on the bedstand, and I was staring at that crucifix. I'm like, that's the man. that's the man that I encountered, right? And so I had this very experiential, deep connection. Of course, later on, as things spun out, I was just madder than hell, right? So if you're so good and you're so powerful, how can you let everything I care about be destroyed, right? So I turned my back on that. So when I came back to the Lord and I was like, connecting with evangelical Christianity, you take the good, the bad, and the ugly, right? And there's a lot of good, and then there's a lot of ugly, right? And so what started to not resonate with the God I knew in my knower, knew experientially and from a very young age, was like, wow, this does not look like a God of love, like with this punitive, angry, distancing, performance taskmaster, pick a card, any card, was not jiving with the God that I knew experiential and that I just knew in my gut, right? And so I started to explore other streams. I started to get connected to those in the grace camps, in Trinitarian camps, and you know, because I'm kind of the way I'm wired, I love to explore. I love theology, but I'm also very prophetic. And so there's a real mixture. Even in my books, I like to deep dive theologically, and then I like to invite the reader into encounter so that the word, the logos, becomes flesh in them, right? And this is where transformation happens, right? So much of my, I'm a coach as well, right? So a lot of you know, that ministry and that end of things happens from that perspective.
Right.
So I'll pause here because I sense a question.
No, I just agreed with you. Yeah, continue. Very good.
Okay, so this is really part of my sort of my deconstruction. I can't say that I was so disillusioned with God that I left God. Like my disillusionment with God was really, you know, much earlier on. When I kind of gave God the flying finger, right? And so, but I couldn't shake him, you know? So as I said, there's a chapter in my book called Annoying Relentless Love. He would just not leave, honey, whenever you're ready. It's like, go away. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to hear you.
Right.
Okay. I had to get over my snit. And, you know, and truly in his compassion, it's true. It is a good question with the problem of evil, right? Such a, you know, why does evil, wicked things happen if you're such a good God, right? All of these things that we wrestle with in our humanity. And, you know, and it was very helpful, particularly in the Trinitarian streams, when you're discussing the union, the mystical union that we have with God and Christ in his humanity, the Word made flesh, and that real focus was very healing. But I realized that a lot of these things that I had experientially, because a lot of my healing happened just in encounter with God. Like I would go into my place of oneness with God. There'd be, you know, contemplation, exchange of lies and truth, all of that, just healing from trauma and all that. So the experiential piece was there, but the theological construct that I encountered, it was not jiving, right?
Right.
And so as I journeyed, that was some of the, but you know what's beautiful too, and I want to say this because there is value in so much of your journey and all these different camps, because I went through a lot of different camps. I named a couple, right? And there's beauty and value. And I want to honor what is good and beautiful and true and take that with while you're journeying. Because the thing is, none of us have this thing down, right? When I get my ducks in a row, you know, one will waddle off and, you know, whatever. So I'll come find you when they're all in a row. But I realize that we can hold this loosely because of our oneness with this God that's leading us and guiding us into all truth, which brings freedom as we ingest it and the word becomes flesh in our being. It brings the freedom that brings transformation in our lives.
Yeah,
and so, so a little bit about that. So most of what I do now, I do a ton of coaching that actually pays the bills, hallelujah, that the bills get paid to be able to run my own podcast and Dugan and all the different things. I also speak. I also write books. I've got 7 books out. So, and then I have a podcast. So those are the things kind of I do, and I mentor, I have mentorship groups and things like that. So anyway, that's a little bit about me.
Okay.
You wanted to
let me, I want to go back to some of what you were talking about in your deconstruction process. Mm-hmm. You talked about how you were really, it sounded like kind of turned off to God. I know a lot of the emails I get and a lot of the communications I get to people are, that's kind of where they're at.
Sure.
Is how do I go from being completely turned off to the church, to even a lot of the scripture, to God in general, or the ideal of God, because they want, they have this need to sort of reconstruct something, but they're really, really cynical in some ways, to the point that they're they're not really pursuing anything.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about that in your own journey and what you mentioned that, you know, God never left. He was always there. Mm-hmm. And that was true for my journey. Mm-hmm. And they've heard that. Yeah. Talk a little bit about that in your journey.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting because that particular, the immensity of my rage, okay, was really honestly before I had encountered religious Christianity. Okay. So it wasn't like religious Christianity had like been shoved down my throat. And that's why I left. No, I left literally because life was hell.
I see.
Right. Okay. And so, you know, that was when I turned, but I'll talk about the deconstruction piece from religious, cause I did both. Okay.
Oh, okay.
But that was because of just the experience of, you know, of just my world collapsing. Right. And so that was that. Now my repulsion with, the God that of religious Christianity, because I actually came from religious secular humanism. There was a ton of condemnation. I breathed it like air where I grew up. That was part of the toxicity of that, but it wasn't in the flavor of Christ. Okay. It wasn't in that flavor. We were actually taught that kind of Christians, we look down on Christians, like you lost your brain, like all of that. My attempts at that early on were kind of secretive because it was like, oh, I don't know, this is looked down on, you know, I'd sneak read my Bible, but that was early on in my journey. Later on, after I became a believer, and we can talk about what that would be, my salvation experience, awakening to Christ, you know, but the streams that I went into had a lot of toxic religion in them. So you're presented a dualistic God. You're presented a God that is a punishing God. I mean, I read the same scriptures you did. It's like, wow, we're killing babies now. That looks like a lovely God right there, right? And it's in your name, right? And the way women were treated, the way just people were treated in general, and, you know, the pharisaical things. I mean, you just read it and you're like, ugh, you know, how can I reconcile this? And my thing was always, how do I reconcile this with the God that I know deep in my knower? How do I reconcile?
Right.
And you know, part of it, because I was kind of started to become programmed in that religion, you know, the rapture and crappy eschatology and all of that, and penal substitution, and pick whatever heinous religious toxic thing. I mean, I kind of took it on, and I became something. I became religious. I became judgmental. I became kind of fearful. But something deep in my knower is like, this is not who I am. Right.
Yeah.
And so when I started almost stumbling into some of these grace teachers and some of the Trinitarian teachers, like there was life in it. So I just started, going where there was life. So that it wasn't this huge, I hate Jesus. But the thing for me, it was like, this is not like the God I know.
Right.
So it wasn't this massive deconstruction. Now, I can say for a while, because I was reconstructing, I couldn't read a vast majority of the Bible. Like it was so repulsive because I couldn't reconcile it in my mind.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think a lot of people can relate to that. I know I did. It took me a long time to go back to reading the Bible.
Exactly.
I had to take a sort of a break from it. Yeah. For a while.
I love if God is like, good idea. You know, because he like, this is not representing, this is harming you because you're not able to weed through it and see it as it is, because you've got this concept. Well, it's inerrant. Well, if it's inerrant, like we're not supposed to kill, but we're killing babies. We're killing our enemies, but we're supposed to forgive our enemies. I mean, what is it? Right. You know?
Yeah. Right.
And so having a detox from it is actually probably a great idea. If it is harming your innards, it is harming your spirit. Yeah, like take a break, right? It becomes the letters of death. But then when you start to read other passages, it starts to explain it better. But you have to give yourself your own process, you know. Yeah, one of the things I did in my Marked by Love book, and I don't mean to skip to that, but it's pertinent for this discussion, is because for so many people, because God has been painted as this demon, like literally, this is so demonic, this punitive, angry, I got to beat the crap out of my son because I got an anger management problem and someone's going to get it, right? Whatever, whatever that is, it's so repulsive that a lot of times the word God or the word Jesus, or it just becomes such a trigger. And I love God. And, you know, because he's like, okay, this is not a problem because I'm going to reveal myself in a way that can be assimilated into your system. So if you're a Muslim, if you're a Buddhist, if you're whatever, pick a card, any card, someone who just deconstructed and hates all things Christian. Okay.
Right.
I'm going to meet you exactly in a way that, that your system can take it because I refuse to leave the object of my passion alone. And it's my heart to heal and help you to see who I truly am. Right. And that takes some time. That takes a nuance and an understanding. You know, if God really became a human being and really is in us, in our the deepest place of our being, that means he's able to assimilate all that toxicity in and of himself and present himself in a way that we can engage. So in my book, Marked by Love, for that reason, I literally refer to God as love, right? Love so loved the world, right? Because it takes us out of God, Jesus, I mean, and I'll talk about, you know, I'll list them, but when we're doing the encounter piece, we'll literally be engaging with the person of love because that is the essence of his, of who he is. You know, before we ever had a seen realm, what was God? Well, God always has been. There wasn't a need to heal. There wasn't a need to restore. There wasn't a need to correct. There wasn't a need to deliver. Truth was just truth. There was no such thing as dark, all of these things. So God, who you were love, right? In this mystical union, this perichoretic thing. And so this is, and as love, you explode in a race of children because of love. Because well, if love has a need, it just needs more to love, right? So he creates a race of people that look just like him, but in their flavor, right? Because love is expansive and just wants more to love. And so anyway, so that's part of for people who've just been really like, I can't stomach Jesus. I can't stomach Father God. You know, I wrote another book, God, Male and Female, because of the male-female issue, right? Because people have been so harmed in the way masculinity in its toxic form and femininity in its toxic form has been portrayed. And so what does that mean about who God is and who we are in his image and likeness? So anyway, all of these things, because people need to be met where they are. Right. You know, sometimes you just need to meet light. Mm-hmm. And he's like works for me. You know? Yeah. However we need that. He's like, that's how I'm showing up because I'm going to come to your level in compassion and reveal myself to you in a way that your system can take it in because I want to heal you. Yeah.
Yeah. There's two things I want to delve into. One, it sounds like in your process, you correct me if I'm wrong, that divine love in its perfection for you, in other words, in its unconditionality for you, is something that you began to believe. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. What was so interesting is truly, and one of the things for me as I was growing up, because it was so chaotic, I was like, what can I actually believe in? What can you reduce things to and press on so hard that it will actually hold the entire cosmos up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it took me a long time to come across that. You know, there was a bunch of things that I thought, and then they wouldn't hold up. But you can press on God as the person of love, and it will never fail you.
Right.
Right? You can press on that with your whole being, with the entire cosmos, with the seen realm, with the unseen realm, throughout all ages, in perpetuity, and it will hold up. Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do you think that that's, I mean, in my experience, the person who comes to the understanding of the unconditionality of God's love, it's almost to me an absolute necessity. Would you say that to really to that
absolutely.
Reality?
Absolutely. Because if there's any condition on it, it's not love by definition,
right?
It's something else. Okay. But it's not love. And love is not just an attribute It's a person. He's a person. They're right. A person, right?
Yes.
And so every attribute of God is actually a facet and reflection of that ultimate truth of the essence of who he is. And so even the wrath is a reflection of that. I mean, you can just pick a card, any card, and things that we need to understand better and honestly need better language for. Part of our problem, language gets to be such a problem. When I say one thing, when I even say love, well, that may be 5 zillion different things to people, but that's why this is kind of like a deep dive to encounter the personhood of, and can you love me here? And can you love me here? And what about this? What if I give you the flying finger for what I think is eternity? What about that? Right? So what about that on the other side? You know, all of that, right?
Yeah. Yep.